Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Albert, before we get... Well, first of all, I was going to get to Ron Rivera, but you reported earlier this week that maybe winds are changing, that Freddie may not be out, that they might have to, you know, make some coaching staff moves, but you think he's more likely, more likely to stay than not?
I'd be hesitant to put the word reported in front of that, but... it's just my belief after, I've called around the last couple of weeks and everything else. It's my belief that there's a good chance he survives now. But I wouldn't be surprised if part of that is that there's some staff changes. And it may not be necessarily even guys getting fired. It just might be changing roles, And the one thing that's, been raised to me in the past is like the possibility that, Freddie maybe becomes more of a walk-around head coach and Todd Monken becomes the play caller. I would say there are different things that could be on the table, but I'm not reporting that any of that's going to happen.
Like I said,
you sort of, I'll put it this way. You make enough phone calls, this time of year, and you sort of put two and two together with a bunch of different things and you start to form opinions. And, my opinion right now, I would think is that, Freddie's got a pretty good chance to survive and be the coach again in 2020, barring any sort of, catastrophe over the next month.
But let's say that changes, Albert.
Yeah.
If it does, would Ron Rivera make sense for the Browns?
I love Ron. I mean, I would tell you, I think, any organization that's in any sort of chaotic state, I think would, all you have to do is look at how Ron Rivera handled the Greg Hardy situation in 2014, which, let me tell you this. I was on the ground for some of that. A borderline impossible situation for a head coach. The owner wasn't saying anything. They were basically wheeling him out there to be the spokesman for the team. It was a very serious non-football situation while trying to keep the team together. And he handled it, I think, about as well as anybody could possibly handle it. They got into a deep hole from a football standpoint that year, clawed out of it, wound up winning their division, and the next year won 15 games, and then got to the Super Bowl. And so, he's a very, very steady leader, and players respond to him. And, is he going to, win the press conference the way, a Lincoln Riley would win the press conference? Maybe not, but I think for some team out there, he's going to be a really, really sensible hire and somebody who can come in and really stabilize an organization.
Albert Breer is with us. Albert, how serious do you think Baker Mayfield's hand is? He hasn't thrown a football this week, and I thought he was definitely kind of hampered by it in the second half on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know, Dustin, but if they're keeping him out of practice, I can tell you something, that they're trying to manage it as best they can. And look, I know Baker's like a lot of quarterbacks, which, the only way that quarterbacks can prove their toughness is availability in a lot of cases because they're not – they're not as involved in the physical part of the game as guys at other positions. And so, my feeling would be that it's probably still bothering him and he's probably doing everything he can to prepare himself, to be ready to go on Sunday. And, with a lot of these quarterbacks, they take great pride in being available on a week to week basis because, it's the way that they can show their toughness. And so, I don't have specific information about how serious it is, but I would think that he's fighting his ass off to try and play.
Yeah, Albert, as we know now, right, the Browns in a couple of years are going to, assuming their careers go as we think they're going to go, they're going to have to pay Baker Mayfield a ton of money. They're going to have to pay Myles Garrett a ton of money. They're going to have to pay Nick Chubb a ton of money. Odell Beckham's already making a lot of money. He's going to want more. Jarvis Landry makes a lot of money. These things are going to catch up, and that's what makes me nervous about if they're not sure Freddie's the right guy. Like, part of me says, this is crazy. They're always changing coaches quick. Yeah. You have to wait. But I feel like a lot of the mistakes he's making, he's not even admitting their mistakes. And I don't know if they're correctable. And if they're not, do you want to waste another season when these guys are all cheap with the wrong coach.
Yeah, hey, and look, like I there's definitely validity to valuing what you've got right now.
Yeah.
This is an amazing fact. I don't know if you guys know this. Do you know no quarterback making $20 million a year has ever won the Super Bowl?
Did not know that.
Never happened. And I know the $20 million barrier, I think, first got broken eight years ago by Drew Brees. And no quarterback on a contract worth $20 million a year or more has ever made the suit, has ever won the
Super Bowl. What was Brady making last year? 19?
He's making like 15. Oh,
that's it, 15. Wow.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and so and if you look, you'll see, like, you know, so last year Brady won. And, I mean, that's skewed a little bit by Brady winning. But Brady took less, which means the Patriots have more to build their own, right? And the Eagles won it. Well, they won it with a number two overall pick on a rookie contract. On their roster last year, the Raiders was, you know, same thing, a quarterback who was drafted first overall, who was on his rookie contract. Cam Newton made it to the Super Bowl on his rookie contract, make it to the Super Bowl while they're still on their rookie opportunity, for example, of it, like the Eagles, right? So the Eagles have Carson Wentz now on a deal at, I think it's about, $34 million a year. And so, you know, you've noticed over the last two or three years, Howie Rosenfroster that's, won a championship and competed for another one last year with a backup quarterback. Well, why didn't they trade for Jalen Ramsey when they had a corner issue this year? The reason why is because now they've got to value draft picks differently, because they look at it now and they say, okay, well, we're going to have to fill out our roster a different way because our quarterback's making $30 million per year more than he was before. And so we need to hold on to our draft picks because that's where our cheap labor is going to come from. And so that sort of illustrates the way, you have to operate. And that's where John Dorsey's been able to trade for guys like, Odell Beckham, and trade for guys like Jarvis Landry over the last couple of years, because, you've got the money to spend on those sorts of guys. You don't need as much cheap labor on your roster. Once you pay your quarterback, that all changes. And especially if it's your quarterback plus other guys, which is the situation the Browns are in, which, again, like, is a Cadillac problem to have. Because, it's better than missing on your draft picks. It's a good problem to have, that you hit on your draft picks and you're eventually going to have to pay them. But when you have to pay them, your dynamic does change.
Albert, the Odell Beckham Jr. experiment has not gone quite as well as we would think or would have thought, I guess. And I guess the question I'd have for you is, how do the Browns feel about that? And, there's some people that speculate, no one's reporting this, but like maybe the Browns would look to maybe trade him this offseason. Have you heard any of that? And what are the Browns' thoughts on Odell so far?
I mean, I don't think, the biggest takeaway I have is not on Odell himself. It's how you build a roster. And I think what was negligent about the Odell Beckham trade wasn't bringing Odell in. It was going for broke when you know your offensive line's a mess. And so, I think that's the thing that you look back at if you're the Browns and you regret. It's way more relevant, and I think I've said this to you guys before, that Greg Robinson is a bad left tackle than it is that Odell Beckham is a good receiver, right? And I know that's sort of simplifying it a little bit, but that's just the way it is. And if you look at the teams that were alive at the end last year, all of them had deep investment in their offensive and defensive lines. And, the Browns over the last 4 years, you think about the talent drain, they've watched Mitch Schwartz, Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, and Kevin Zeitler all walk out the door, right? And what's coming back? It's just, you lose that much talent up front, and you're totally neglecting, you're totally neglecting those positions as those guys leave, and you're not restocking them, and then you strike out on Austin Corbett. That's where your problem is. And so I know we all go nuts over skill position players in the offseason and everything else. I'm not even putting this at the foot of Odell. I just think, bringing in guys like Odell, those are finishing pieces. Like the Rams go get Brandon Cooks when they're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. You have to have the rest of your house in order first before you start to go get guys like that. And that's not saying they can't make an impact. It's just that I think if you don't have those key positions up front taken care of, who you have in some other spots is sort of irrelevant.
Yeah, couldn't they have done both, though? Couldn't they have gotten Odell and addressed the offensive line?
Yeah, and I think we would look at Odell.
Yeah.
And he's been, and for the most part, hasn't been a problem, right?
No, he hasn't.
And I think he competes. And I honestly think, I've been critical of Odell in the past. You guys know that.
Sure.
I the way I look at it is, if they have a better offensive line right now, we're looking at the Odell Beckham trade completely differently. Because I think if they've got a better offensive line right now, we're talking about Baker Mayfield like he's an MVP candidate. I think that much of him as a player. And I think part of all of this has gotten in his head to some degree and everything else. But again, like if you don't have, you know, the right offensive line in front of your quarterback, especially if it's a young quarterback who's still sort of learning how to play, that's an enormous problem. And you guys go back and look at the quarterbacks that have had the big second-year breakthroughs, right? Patrick Mahomes. He had Eric Fisher, Mitchell Schwartz, and Mitch Morris in front of him. Carson Wentz, he had Jason Peters, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, and Jason Kelce in front of him. It's, you know, almost invariably, like try and find me a young quarterback who's played really well without having a really, really good offensive line in front of him. And you see it with Jared Goff now. His drop-off, isn't it interesting how that kind of coincides with them losing Roger Saffold and John Sullivan and Andrew Whitworth getting a little older? It's just you can't find young quarterbacks who play really well behind bad offensive lines because they haven't learned to do that yet. And if your quarterback's not playing well, then your receivers don't have a chance.
Albert, gun to your head, where is Josh McDaniels coaching next season?
I guess I've jumped the gun a bunch of different times on him leaving
okay.
New England.
The gun's to your head right now.
I think it's probably New England. I would tell you this, okay. though. Like, I think Carolina is very interesting to him, and I think he's interesting to Carolina. David Tepper's got, like, a good relationship with the Kraft family. The Krafts were big advocates of David Tepper when he was a prospective buyer, and they championed him, you know, as a new member of that ownership club of their country club there. And, you know, I think that Tepper's going to look at both Nick Caserio and Josh McDaniels, and so – that would be, I would say if he's going to leave, I'd put, you know, Carolina at the top of that list. I mean, look, guys, I've said this to you a million times. I think if Cleveland called, like, they would be at the top of his list. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that Cleveland's going to be in that position after the year. And I'm not sure, like, I don't know that whether or not, like, the mix between him and John Dorsey would work anyway. But I think he's an outstanding coach and certainly would be worth, you know, sniffing around if you have an opening.
Speaking of the Patriots, Albert, you know, I think we've all learned our lesson to never write them off, even when they don't look their best in the regular season.
Yeah.
But the reality is the offense does not look very good right now. And it doesn't mean he can't come playoff time. And, you know, Brady's not playing great or as great as we expect. Are we seeing a real decline in him now? Or is just, mm-hmm. just is this just a blip in the radar and he'll be back to normal in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been sort of waiting for, and he had his ups and downs last year too.
He did.
I think a lot of people are sort of looking for, like, the Favre Peyton Manning collapse, right?
Right.
Like Favre in 2010, Peyton Manning 2015. I don't think you're seeing that with him. I think what you're seeing is he's sort of in this phase of his career now, and this is not a shot at him, because the fact that he's even out there at 42 is incredible. But I think he's in, like, the sort of John Elway with Mike Shanahan phase of his career, right? If you put John Elway with the Broncos teams he was on in 86, 87, and 89 in the 90s, like, he wouldn't have been able to carry those guys the way he did. But, you know, when Mike Shanahan got there and in 96, 97, 98, he had Rod Smith, had McCaffrey, Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis, one of the best offensive lines in football in front of him. And so, you know, like, I think that's sort of the phase of Brady's career we're at now, is where it's like, Brady used to be able to lift everybody up and cover up weaknesses and be sort of like a plug for every hole that they had. And we've seen it over and over again where he was able to win with less. And I think he can still play. I think the arm strength's still there. But I don't know that he's quite as capable of carrying a team. And so when you have holes around him, which they do right now, those are going to show up in his game. And I think that's where they're at. You know, they're a very complex offense that's relying on rookie receivers, which is a bad mix. And then their offensive line has underperformed. And so I think that's where it's showing. I think that's what you're seeing in Brady's game right now. It's a reflection not that he can't play anymore, it's just that he can't carry a team the way he used to be able to.
Last thing, Albert, more likely to beat the Patriots in the playoffs, the Chiefs or the Ravens?
I'm going to say the Ravens. The Chiefs are scary, though. I mean, like, think about this, guys. That offensive line, the Chiefs' offensive line, played together intact for the first time since September a couple of weeks ago in Mexico City. So they're just getting healthy. And the whole offense as a whole played together for the first time intact since September this week against the Raiders. And you saw what happened there, right? And the defense
And they still didn't have Damian Williams this week, though.
Right, and the defense has quietly started to get a little bit better.
Yep.
Now coming into the year, they had all these holes, right? And they let Dee Ford go. Well, they let Dee Ford go. They let Justin Houston go. A couple of years ago, they let Marcus Peters go. Eric Berry's gone, and they brought in all these new pieces. They hired Steve Spagnuolo. They bring in Tyrann Maxey. They trade for Frank Clark. It's an incredible amount of turnover. And they struggled early on, and it looked like nothing was fixed. And now it looks like it's starting to come together. And so if the defense is coming together, and now all of a sudden you get the offense that you were getting last year, look out.
Yeah.
And I think we're gonna. The great thing is, guys, is that we're going to get to see how real it is this week when they go up to New England. I think we're going to get a really, really good view of where the offense is at the very least. And if that defense is what it's looked like the last couple of weeks, they should be able – to at least be competitive with the Patriots offense in a way that they weren't last year.
Albert, thanks as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks,
Buckeyes, guys. Albert. Buckeyes.
There you go.
Hey, go Bucks. Hey, how much fun was Saturday?
Another beatdown.
It was, you put a fitty burger on Michigan. It feels good.
I'm going to send you my Instagram story from after the game on Saturday. I think you guys would enjoy it.
Was it private or public?
I put it up. I'll send it to you.
Okay, so
you and Bo can take a look.
All right, we like it, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.